some glad morning when this life is o'er. I'm gonna fly away, oh, to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, oh, yes, I'll fly away, oh, glory, I'm gonna fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, bye-bye.
Let us say it like this: when we take our nap in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see him in church on Saturday night. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to see all of you. Good to see all of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll go ahead and fellowship a little bit. It won't hurt nothing. Play that a little bit if you will. Stand with me just for a few minutes. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. Got several things we want to let you know about. Brother Samuel Shuffer wants just to offer a word of testimony. Thank you for keeping him in your prayers. Thank you for your fellowship and for your kindness. And he really loves this church family. And he just thanks the Lord for you. And just, well, we thank the Lord for Brother Samuel too, don't we? Amen. So let's remember that prayer request tonight, that testimony. That be thankful for that. Sister Angie Brown says, "Dear Church of Happy Valley, will you please pray that God will give me a safe trip this weekend driving to Georgia and that God will give me the desire of my heart." So let's, whatever that need would be, we'll just commit that unto the Lord tonight. I want to offer this prayer request tonight for Mark and Megan Hubbard. Both are sick in body, need a touch from the Lord. They ask that we would pray for them tonight. Brother and Sister Stockton, both in need of prayer tonight. They're asking that we would remember them in prayer. Sister Jaretta, Brother Terry, let's pray for them. Brother George Hamlin sends this in to please pray for my brother-in-law, Dave Green. He's having eye surgery next week. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. And Brother Fred Softman passed away today. He was 98 years old, so we certainly pray for that family that the Lord would just comfort their hearts during this time. May God be mindful of them. Joyce Clark, a friend of Brother Keith Phillips, and Jeff Frady from Kingsport. They're asking for prayer, so let's pray for those needs tonight. Whatever they would be, we'll just commit them unto the Lord. We know that we've got many needs among us here in our local assembly. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about tonight, how many of you know that we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems? We got all sorts of different things going on, but I'm telling you this, friend, we are to be encouraged. Our hope don't lay out here in this old world. Our hope don't lay in the riches or the political part of the world, but our hope is in the Lord. Aren't you glad you've got a hope tonight? Something that's sure, something that you can say without a shadow of a doubt, I know this will work. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's just sing that little chorus tonight. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. Yes, my hope is in the Lord. From this time on and evermore, oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. Yes, my hope is in the Lord. This time, oh, evermore, oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. One more time. Yes, now my hope, it's in the Lord. This time, oh, love him, give him a big hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brother Wyko, I want you to come tonight if you would. Lead us to the Lord in prayer. Let's commit these things unto the Lord. Invite his presence into this service and ask him to have his perfect divine will in all these prayer requests. God bless you, brother.
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we want to thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to your house. And Father, you know my heart, Lord. I felt so bad this evening. I really didn't want to come to church. But as I sat there, Lord, and heard that music, I'll fly away. Something just stirred my heart, Lord. And I thank you for that, Father. We already feel so much better just to be in your presence, Lord, with your people. And Father, we hold these requests in our hands, Lord, and they're people we love, people we care about, Lord. And I know you care about them too. You died for them. You redeemed them. You died that they might be saved. You died that they may be healed. And Father, we commit them to you, and we just ask you, and we believe you, Lord. That's why they turned to me in, because they believe you're a prayer answering God. And Father, bless us tonight, and bless your word to our hearts, Father. And Lord, I got my notebook with me. There's so many good things that comes across this pulpit, Lord. I thought I got to start writing some things down so I'll remember them, Lord. Please help us, Lord, and bless our pastor, and have your way in our service, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Sam. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you folks. Glad to have all of you here. Looks like we have Mike and Yvonne Nelson, Hope, Whitney, Eliana, Colin, and what's the other one's name? Michael. They're standing right back here. Raise your hand, Mike. God bless you. Glad to have these folks in the service with us tonight. Give them a nice hand. Praise the Lord for those folks being here. Also, Ben West and some more folks from Alabama. Are they visiting tonight with us? Where would these folks be? Are they here? Raise your hand right over here. Give those folks a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Glad to have all of our visitors tonight with us in this service. Let me make this one announcement before we sing our song tonight. Anyone that's planning on attending the Happy Valley Youth Banquet, that's on May the 25th, please sign the sheet that's available for you over in the library. You must be 13 or older to attend. Money needs to be turned in as soon as possible. I think they've only got room for about 40 more applicants. So if you're planning on going to that youth banquet, you need to sign up as soon as possible. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be a Christian? Aren't you glad you love the Lord? Aren't you glad He loves you too? Give Him another big hand clap of praise. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. He looked beyond my fault. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. Aren't you glad that He did? Sing it one more time with all your heart. Oh, I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Full of you, that old rugged cross where Jesus died. Now let's sing that verse. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my so glad that He did. He looked beyond all my faults and He saw my need. Yes, I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Somebody say praise the Lord. Pressing on, pressing on. Somebody called today, requested this song. Ashley asked that Brother Harry sing that song. He's not here in the service tonight with us, but we'll try to sing it anyway as a congregation, of course. But how many of you are glad you've got something in you that's keeping you pressing on? Well, I hope the rest of you figure out what it is and what you're doing. How many of you are glad something is causing you to press on? Give the Lord another big hand clap of praise. We're going to keep pressing on. Say, Satan, we're gonna prove you're a liar again. We're gonna keep pressing on. We've gotta keep pressing on. Pressing on. Of our Lord. Sing that verse again if you will. There's no need for you to go on. I wouldn't even try. Even if there was a rapture, you'll never make it in. I just say, Satan, I'm gonna prove you're a liar again. I'm gonna keep pressing on. We've gotta keep pressing on. Amen. God bless you tonight. I'm going to let you be seated. We have a special tonight. Sister Cinda, Anna, and Rebecca, and I don't know how many more is involved in this song tonight, but ever how they have that arranged, if they've come and get ready to sing for us tonight, ever how they have that put together, I know it's going to be a blessing to you, so you just enjoy them as they sing for you tonight. Are you glad you're a Christian? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? On Saturday night, what a time it is to be in the house of God. Amen. Let's enjoy this song tonight as they sing for us.
Shiver in the cold, but I did say you never walk through the
Enjoy that? Amen. Well, we'd like need to hear some more of that more often, don't we? Amen. Let's stand tonight. It's time to go into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. How many of you want to pray for your pastor tonight as he comes to bring us the word of the Lord? Brother David, I'm going to put you on the spot just real quickly here. Would you come and do that song for us and let us help you? I'm a Jesus man. Now, this guy says I can't sing, but how many of you know that's not true? Come on, sing. I want to help you. Come on. We like to hear you sing. You might as well get your singing britches on, somebody. We're going to use you some in singing.
Well, the way I feel since the Lord saved me, words can never, never tell. Well, I'm fully whole, rejoicing in my soul with Jesus, I now dwell. Yes, He's living in me, as you plainly can see. That's the reason that I shout and sing. I'm washed in His blood, I'm a millionaire, I'm a child of the King. Oh, I'm a Jesus man. Yes, I'm a Jesus man.
Oh, yes.
Well, in Jesus' name, my soul's aflame. Christ, I am there. Well, forevermore, tell it o'er and o'er, there's nothing like it below. Lord, I meet Him in the sky, in the by and by. I'm a Jesus man. that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. All power is in His name. Well, He healed the sick and He raised the dead. He's always just the same. Well, He's on the throne. I am not alone. Reaches out His hand. Whenever I pray, whether night or day, it's a ransom in Jesus' name. Christ, I am in there. Love forevermore, tell it o'er and o'er. Nothing like me, Lord. Gonna meet Him in the sky in the by and by. Oh, gonna meet Him in the sky in the by and by. Cause I'm Jesus' man.
Praise the Lord.
I am too.
Amen.
Y'all too?
Yes.
God bless you. Let's turn tonight to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'd like to read verse 13 through verses 17. How many believes the Lord Jesus is coming soon?
Amen.
And coming soon for you.
Amen.
I believe it.
Then we know if there will be a rapture, a body change, a resurrection, there will need to be a faith that will be able to lift the recipients of that to a place to where there are just a couple of more people have ever walked in that realm. And we know that it'll have to be a faith, of course, that comes by the hearing of the word of the Lord, since faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word. And it'll need to be a faith that'll be in same character and quality that you're living by every day. Same type of faith. But just move you into that final cycle to where that it will finish what it started in you. So we'd like to look at that tonight if the Lord would help us on faith for a rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus. Sleep in Jesus. Now look at this. Paul in two verses mentions this. Asleep in Him in verse 13. Sleep in Jesus, verse 14. We which are asleep, verse 15. And then in verse 16, the dead in Christ arise. So don't think that God has ever forgotten one of His children that have gone by the way of the grave. He just addresses that body in a different way. Now this is not the soul, of course, that we're even referring to. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, not months apart, not weeks apart, not years apart, but then, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I love this part. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, he's not saying we'll forever be with the Lord in the air. That's not what he's saying. That we'll forever be with the Lord. Whether he's in the air, whether he goes to heaven, comes back to the earth in the millennium, wherever he goes, we go with him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we so love you tonight. How our hearts long, Lord Jesus, for this blessed thing. Dear God, we know since your apostle wrote this down almost 2,000 years ago, it has been talked about, studied, preached. Diagrams have been made. It's been placed on boards. It's been placed on papers, on digital screens, and in digital format. But Father, we long for the day when this promise will be made flesh. Lord, I pray you would take your word tonight and speak to us, Father God. We confess that we need you every hour of our lives. We know it's one of the credentials of a real Christian is that they are looking for the coming of Jesus. So help us, Lord, that we can be real Christians. Granted, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Certainly appreciate the opportunity for us to be gathered together again tonight in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Knowing that the very thing that has been talked about for so many thousands of years is laying right before us. Could it be tonight? Could be. Could be tomorrow? Could be 50 years from now? Who knows when it'll be? But the most important thing is for us to be ready. Amen. At all times. Now, I'd like to pick up again on the statement that we'd read last week when Brother Branham was talking about going beyond the camp. We'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Think of it. Missing people. They can't see you no more. But you're getting together with the rest of the group. Yeah. Now, to enter into a spiritual body. We know when the first resurrection in the book of Matthew in the New Testament took place, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 and on down to 53, it tells us that many of the bodies of the saints which were in the graves, which slept, arose. Now, it does not tell us that all of them which slept, but many of them which slept arose. And yet, we know that they had a body somehow of recreated elements and substance, calcium, potash, petroleum, cosmic light as it were, but they could actually move in a realm and in a way that after this resurrection, the Lord Jesus, when the disciples were there together in the room, and he was able to walk and appear and disappear because the atoms of that body were structured in a total different way than the atoms of time. Now, whenever we look at wood and this leather case on this Bible and paper and cotton by which this suit is made out of and leather on our shoes and man-made material and substance that is around us, we know that it takes molecules and atoms and all of that to put it together, but yet it's put together in such a way that it is very fitting for the element of time. But if God was making a body which would be beyond time, then God would use it, no doubt, in a structure that would be in a little different way. So Jesus could appear, disappear, walk on the water. He could do all those various things. Even many of the saints which slept, they appeared unto many. But yet, no doubt, everybody didn't see them. So they could appear, disappear. They could come, they could go, they could travel like a thought. So it gives us a little bit of an insight into what then this resurrection will be about and what it will be like. That the bodies by which we are birthed into when we are finally in the last stage of our redemption, that it will be a body in a similar way. That if we are alive and remain, that we shall be changed. If they are gone, if you've died in what we call died gone by the way of the grave, then of course Paul says them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So what is God bringing with him?
that part of you which was the attribute of God's thinking, that when you left this body and we would take the body and bury it over here in the ground or wherever we would place it, then that is the seed or the house by which the Spirit of God in you dwelt, and it controlled your behavior, your actions, and the way you lived and so on. But yet the real you, whenever death struck you, it opened up that door to which you were able to move out of this body into another realm. Now we know to the world and to those that are ignorant of death and to those that are lost, death must be a fearful thing. It must be a terrible thing, because none of us, of course, have actually ever went through that channel and remained through that channel. We have all kinds of books and testimonies of people who say they went into death and there's all kinds of lights and this and that and the other. Well, I don't know if they're true or not, because I've never had it myself. So you really don't know. You just scan through all of that and say, well, who knows? But yet you realize that for those who are not prepared, death would hold an element of fear. It would hold an element of mystery that to the child of God it does not hold, because a Christian does not fear death. Now the body itself, sure, there's an element of bewilderment about it. You don't know which way you're going to go, what's going to happen. But yet to your soul is stabilized by the voice of the Creator. So the Lord Jesus is there to help you go across that great place. His presence there to nudge you into that realm of the sixth dimension. But yet the real you, the part of you that come from God, the part that could be born again, that part of you goes into that house of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For if you know if the thirsty house of the tabernacle were dissolved, we have a house of God, a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we do grow, desiring to be clothed upon, that we may be clothed with that house which is from heaven. So that part of you then enters into that house. Now this is the merging of that soul or that attribute which goes into that body. That's what Jesus brings with him at his advent. Now remember, the Lord Jesus does all three of these things which we just read here in verse 16 as he is descending. So there must be a correlation of how the shout, the voice, and the trumpet will all go together in time, because Jesus does all three of these as he comes back. So Jesus does not come into the air and bring those souls, those theophanies of those which have gone on, and then there he is suspended with them for about 6 months in the air while things are going on down on the earth. No, it can't be that way, because Jesus does all three as he's descending. So the shout, the voice, the trumpet all merges together. And remember, the resurrection and the rapture is only for saints, saints alone. John 3:16 is for sinners. Book of Revelation, him that the thirsty, let him come. That's for sinners. All kinds of other things is for sinners and this and that. But the resurrection and the rapture is for saints only. Either those that are, as we call, their bodies are dead, or those that are alive. So if you and I are a saint of God, it should be something that is the most predominant thing in our life, is being ready for this great change. You believe that? Now, of course, if you're a sinner, you're a backslider, you're an unbeliever, it won't make no difference to you, because you won't be a part of it anyhow. So if that's the way your heart is and your nature is, then you better get to pray it. But if you're a saint of God, then this lays before you, it is the ultimate of where you're going to go. Now, whether you go by the way of the grave, or whether you are alive, ultimately, you are going to be included in these verses that we have just read. Now, not only us in this generation, but the generation of Laodicea, of Philadelphia, of Smyrna, on and on and on backwards from the cross on up. All of those who have died under the faith, elect of God, will be raised. I think the resurrection, the rapture, is not just for a handful of people in the last day, but it will be all of the New Testament elect that will come forth, the dead in Christ. Now, not those that were around the church and that went to church, the foolish virgin type of Matthew 25, but it will be those who had the oil in their lamps. Because remember, the prophet tells us now that the oil in their lamps is rapturing faith. So you can see why then the foolish virgin will not be included in the rapture, because they did not have oil. And of course, in order to have a fire, to have something for the fire to feed upon, you must have oil in your vessel. And the church said,
amen.
Exactly right. So in order for the bride to have rapturing faith, there are several elements that makes up the compound revelation of rapturing faith. But it is not something exterior from the bride that one day just falls out of heaven and hits her in the head, or she don't get it in a, you know, from a new tape somewhere. She don't click on a certain preacher's website and she finds some magic potion somewhere, some vitamin pill. But actually it begins from within you, of something that you are and something that you already have, actually. And it starts forming from there, and it grows and it grows and it grows from a little bitty tiny element of small faith until it matures into a faith big enough to change your body. Oh my. Now this will be the very thing that will lead us into the realm to where that once this happened, the dead in Christ, whenever he descends from heaven and he brings with them the theophanies of those that are there waiting in the sixth dimension, they are loosed from the sixth dimension. He comes, of course, changes from the mediatorial office and enters into his great position of lion. And then he will come down and somewhere remains there, as Paul calls it, in the air. Now then he will allow the sons and daughters of God, which are saints dead in Christ, they will then be permitted to come from the position where he is on down to the earth. Now while this is happening, the creative voice of God is now calling to them a body from the earth. Remember, the Creator will speak and we will get a house which will be comparable to our soul and to our theophany. Then whenever he speaks, then these saints will enter into that body. Now notice, This has happened in a moment. It's a twinkling of an eye. You and I may not even be aware up to this spot what is exactly going on. All we know is we've been praying, we've been reading our Bible, we've been cleaning ourselves up, getting ready. You know, we're just like Enoch, we're just walking with God, and today is was not. Amen. Enoch just walked with God and one day got up and he was closer to Father's house than he was his house. And Father said, "Don't go back home. I want you to come on up here with me." Now, whenever those are released from that place and Christ still is there suspended in the air, now think, there will not be weeks, there will not be months, there will not be years that will transpire as this session, as this enters into this cycle of the coming or the rapture, because the Lord Jesus is there in anticipation, waiting for both of these groups to return. Now remember, he has allowed those that are dead in Christ to leave his presence, and he's still yet here in the air. He's allowed them to come down. Why? They are going to come back and they are going to merge on down a little bit farther than what he did, condescend, step on down, and they will merge then back into an earthly body which has been created by the voice of God, and then they will have a glorified body. Now, then the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain. Now, as I said, once this transpires, once this goes into this cycle or the motion of the resurrection, there'll not be weeks and months and years. Well, you know, this is going on. No, remember, Jesus is in the air now. Jesus is in the air, so there ain't going to be no time for no tent meeting set up over here and over there, and 6 weeks over here, and 3 months over here, and 4 months over there, and 5 months over here, and you know, you got to go over here, and you know, the friend, this is the last cycle. This is when it's all, when it comes to this, oh my, then it's too late. It's too late for you to make anything right. Make it right now so you can be ready for the coming of the Lord. Now notice here, Jesus is in mid-air while this is going on. The rest of the world knows absolutely nothing about it. By this time, no doubt the sequence of the supernatural has already touched the elect upon the earth. And they know something is happening. They know the move is on. Glory. Oh my. Now, once we move into this. Now let's pick up with this. Then we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder, the word is, those which are asleep. Not dead. No, Christians don't die. They're just taking a little rest. See, that's all. But now this is very important to God. You say, why don't we just go to the theophany and forget this body? Because you was not made to be twos. You are made to be threes. You must have a glorified body in the resurrection. You must have that body to make you complete. So God looks at you and He identifies your body as being asleep. Now remember, it does not have to be the same calcium, potash, petroleum, cosmic light, because all the earth has been potentially redeemed under the shedding of the blood at Calvary. So all the earth is now made out of those elements. So all the creative voice of God has to do is just speak and say, let there be bodies, and they will come forth. Now they will not be generic bodies. They will not just come forth, you know, at a random sequence and cycle. So many blonde haired, so many brunettes, so many redheads. But you will actually come back if you are gone and dead, as we say. Then you will actually, your body will come up out of the dust of the earth by the creative voice of God, and it will look like you did when you were 18 years old. So it's not going to be a generic type of something or another, and you're going to look like some movie star. You say, oh, I'd love to look like that. You're stuck with the way you look, so you might as well like it. Except you won't age. Oh man, some of you might even get pretty. Who knows? But you realize now that God is going to bring it forth. It's not a bunch of generic people that have really no image or no reflection about them. All glory to God. We will know as we are known. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Now you see, friend, the very Spirit of God that's going to do that inside of you. If you've got the Holy Ghost, He's living in you tonight. The same Spirit of God that convicts you when you do wrong and say, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done this. Do you understand? That thing that changes your attitude. That thing that changes your behavior. Don't you understand? That's the very thing that's going to change your body. I'm so glad when I make a mistake. I'm so glad when I do wrong. I've got something in me that changes me and won't let me go on. Aren't you? Now notice this. He said, all at once. Now let's break into where it's at. All at once. You happen to stand and look. Well, there's a brother. And you know it ain't wrong. In a few minutes. In a few minutes we'll be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, and together with them be missing on the earth. Now you imagine if we're missing, that means somebody's looking for us. Now you're talking about sad. Some of you young people that's played church. Some of you moms and dads. There'll be message preachers, deacons in churches. A wife will be gone, or a husband will be gone, or a child gone. And they'll go to looking for them and can't find them no more. Now what's amazing is they have now merged into another dimension, which is not a dimension that we, of course, are very aware of, because God made seven in the beginning. We know light, matter, time, science, where the unbeliever goes, where the believer goes, and where God is. And we have been only, most of our lives, been enshrouded around these first four. But yet there is a sphere, there is a place, a dimension, by which a saint can enter into and still be here, but not be here. Glory. Amen. Now notice then they will get together, the dead and Christ shall arise first. Then all of a sudden you see someone, and then in a few minutes you will be changed. And then we go into this realm to where we are missing on the earth. Now we got to have a little time of fellowship. We want to see Paul. We want to see Peter. We want to see all of these brothers. We want to see the people in our day, because we will raise in this generation. I will not know those before me or behind me if there's another generation, but I will know only those in this generation. So we all want to get together. Now can you imagine a meeting going on where there are millions of saints, both living and resurrected? And they're getting together in another dimension, shaking hands, shouting, whatever more, glory to God, I feel like shouting right now. Whatever more that they do, and He wants perfect fellowship, He does not want us up there until all that is settled. So we're able to have our own little spell, and then we go up where He's at. Now think of it, then they come together, the resurrected saints with the living saints, and they merge into this realm entitled missing on earth. So you're still here, but it's like you've disappeared, sort of. It's like somehow you're here, but you're faster than what you were before. Your molecules have now been changed to where you can walk to that wall if need be. You can now travel as a thought. So you're back to your original mode of transportation. That's actually how I came here from heaven in the first place. Woo! Glory! That's the way I came from the mind of God. What about you? I traveled as a thought from the mind of God down here and got inside this old body of mine. And one day, I'm going to take this old body of mine with me and we're going to travel like a thought. Now, notice he says to think with all that we've seen in the scriptures and the clear-cut vindications of the hour that we're living in. It could happen before the service ends. So now wait a minute. If Brother Branham's looking for a tent in the future, how can he believe both of these quotes? How can Brother Branham believe it could be at the end of the, before the end of the service and still look for a tent? He couldn't. How can he believe he has to go on a bear hunt or go here or go there? How could he be waiting for his son, Brother Joseph Branham, to raise up and be some kind of major prophet? If he believed that there was prophecy concerning him, that he had to do this and that and the other, it's totally contradicting what he just said right here. You cannot believe both. You cannot believe Jesus could come at him, the servant, and say, now wait a minute, my boy's got to do this, that, and other, and I've got to have a tent, and I've got to go here, and I've got to say, well, some of these days after this is all done, then this will all happen. Don't you understand, friend, why the message folks must make these things all prophetic? If they make the tent prophetic, the bear hunt prophetic, if they make Brother Joseph being a prophet prophetic, if they make all these things prophetic, then they justify why that all these things have to be fulfilled before the coming of the Lord. But the problem with making prophetic is the man himself didn't make them prophetic. Nor did Paul. The coming of the Lord is not just for us. It's not just for this generation. It's for all those saints that are waiting. Hallelujah. Millions and millions are waiting on you and I. Notice this again, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Amen. So the second coming is not just the coming of Jesus, actually. It's my coming too. It's Paul coming back. It's Peter returning. It's James, it's Brother Branham, it's whoever more. They are coming back. Why do they need to come back? To get their body. It's your mama, it's your grandpa, it's your father, your aunt, your uncle, those that he left of God. Friend, don't you see? God will bring them with him. Oh, hallelujah. Notice again, Paul says in Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in doxa, glory, excellency, majesty, divine perfection. How in the world am I ever going to appear like that? The secret is I'm in him. Now notice, so when Jesus brings those that are asleep, then it releases. Now, where are you then? If you're alive and remain, where are you? You're here. Now listen. He does not need to bring anything from heaven for you to supplement you to get you ready. Now he's bringing the saints, but he ain't bringing any power pack vitamins or any type of special something or another. You do not need that. Glory. What you need will have been given to you on the earth under the administration of the Son of Man himself. He brings the saints with Him. He brings me. No supplemental goodness. No supplemental mercy. No supplemental something. He don't even, that's not why He's coming. He's not coming to supplement what I lacked. What I need is His shout, which is the voice of a command of a general. Oh, glory. Notice in verse 17, Paul says, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. I love this word, then. Look at it. After that. Thereupon. Thereafter. Immediately. Afterwards. The next step. Not the identical time, but immediately afterward. The proper meaning of this word denotes that succession so close as to exclude the idea of any other events transpiring. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Then the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, immediately following, the next step, so fast that nothing can happen in between it. Praise the Lord Jesus. Then, now remember, this is not an opinion. Paul didn't say, well, now this is our Paul. Paul says, this is the word of the Lord. Well, you say, I don't believe it like that. You believe it wrong. You think I'm going to say you believe it right and Paul's wrong? I may look like that, but I ain't one. Notice then, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Harpazo. Catch up. Take by force. Catch away. To seize. Carry off by force. To seize on. Claim for oneself eagerly. To snatch out all away. The Latin word rapto means to seize or carry off. From this we get the English word for rapture. So rapto is to seize and carry off. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Don't you understand? A great portion of the seizing is going on right now. For those who are living, you know, every kind of life and think one day all of this will transpire at that time, they're going to miss it, friends. He is seizing our hearts, our motives, our objectives. He wants to seize everything we are, Brother David, and then carry us off. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can you imagine now? Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up, harpazo, to catch away speedily. This is the same word that Luke uses in the book of Acts chapter 8 verse 39, when he said the Spirit called up Philip after he had baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. So here Philip had a harpazo, caught up, snatch away. Amen. Here, Philip, what was it that done it? Was it something out yonder somewhere, a great star, a great moon that come down? It was already right there. The same Holy Ghost that birthed him. The same Holy Ghost that led him to preach the truth. The same Holy Ghost just simply picked him up and carried him way on down the road. Amen. And set him down. Praise God. Oh, my. Friend, do you believe that same thing is right here in this building tonight? Notice then, to catch away speedily or to claim for oneself. Now this is Jesus' perspective only. This is from Jesus' perspective. That the rapture is Him claiming His rights. Eagerly to seize what is yours. We think of the rapture and the resurrection, we think of it most of the time so one-sidedly. Because we want to leave this whole world and we want to get out of here. But let me tell you something. You ain't the only reason that it's going to be. It's for Him as well. He is also in this picture. He is not just coming back to take you out of a world. He don't want to just get you out of a mess. He wants to get you in His arms. Can you imagine that Jesus loves us so much as His people? Those that He has redeemed, those He died for. He wants to take you to Himself. He wants to take you by the hand, pull you up close to Him, and let His eyes look into yours and express to you by vocal expression, I love you. I loved you before the world began. The rewards that will be given our friends and the bride of Christ will never come before the great white throne judgment to be judged. But we will stand there for rewards. Can you imagine when we stand there and the Lord Jesus will not give them out as a group? He will not give us rewards as a group from Happy Valley. And we all stand up there, okay, Lord, we're the group from Happy Valley. Oh, no. He'll want every one of you as an individual. And there'll be no rush. Each of you just walk before him. And you stand there and you look at him. And he looks at you. Which will it be? Will you reach for him? Or will he reach for you first? Hallelujah. To cling for oneself. The word rapto also means to move to a new place. It also means to rescue from danger. So we're going to be seized and carried off. Jesus is coming down and putting out his ladder up against the window. Juliet, wake up. And about midnight a cry went forth. Go you forth to meet the bridegroom. Juliet, wake up. And Juliet was already waiting. She wasn't asleep, amen. She done heard something. Something done moved on her. By that time, she's already raised up the window and easing over and said, come on, Romeo, let's get out of here. And Romeo helps her down the ladder. My, you imagine him grabbing her and throwing her across his shoulder and said, come on, darling, let's leave this world. Let's get out of this place. He's going to carry you to a new place. Hallelujah. I'm going to rescue you from danger because when I come down a while ago, oh my, Satan was already on his way down. And I'm fixing to rescue you because all hell's fixing to break loose.
Oh, Jesus.
Notice that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Caught up together.
Lord, have mercy. How will it be that there'll be millions? Millions gathering in that other dimension. They're still here on the earth, but they're missing to the natural eye. The living ones that were changed, the dead that were resurrected. And they're all together. And then they start going up. Thousands. Tens of thousands. Hundreds of thousands. Millions.
They're not millions so much out of this age now. But remember, we're talking about age after age after age after age. The tithing of all the ages. From the cross on. Now notice how Paul says this. That we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him. Now here they will merge on the earth. He wants absolute perfect worship.
He wants nobody looking around.
I wonder if that's the way he feels in heaven. I wonder if he feels that way now. I wonder if when we come to the house of God, if he don't want us to pay better attention than what we do. I wonder if Jesus was here, if he'd want us running to the bathroom and doing this and doing that. And, you know, people interested in their texts on their phones and their this and that and the other. I wonder if that's his nature then. Would not that be his nature now? That he would want us to be so attentive and be so alert and come in here to receive, knowing that it could happen before this service is over tonight. Now, let me ask you. If you knew Jesus was going to come, it's a little bit after 8. And if you knew Jesus would be here by 8:30, would you have the same attitude that you do now? Or would you not be sitting there reaching and pulling for everything you could just to make sure, just to make sure? Well, how do you know he won't? Or how do you know that you'll get home? We better do that every time we come to the house of God. We better live every day of our life. Don't we? I've got some things I want. I've got some wild oats I want to sow. I'm going to do some sinning and then I'll give my heart back to God. I didn't realize you could come to him just whenever you pointed a button or flipped the switch. I thought Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draw him. This is not you. I come to God whenever I get ready. Oh, no, you won't. You'll come to God when the Spirit of God's drawing you. You won't come. Friend, we want to live every day. We want to behave in this service tonight as if though this is our last one. This is the way I preach every time I preach. Many of you follow me around. You see me preach to 30, 40, 20, whatever. I give my all every time I preach. I don't preach harder because there's a bigger crowd the way some message preachers do. I preach the same every time. So that way, if that was to be my last service, I would say, Lord, I've done my best for you. I don't want it to be, Donnie, you preach more than this 700 verses 50. I don't want that to be said to me. I want to do my best. Let me tell you, you ought to sing the same way. You ought to sing whether it's Wednesday night or Saturday night, whether it's 5 or 500 or 1,000. We're not doing it for entertainment. We're not doing it so much just for the people. We're doing it for the Lord Jesus. Oh, my friends, do we look at it right? I'm not trying to shame you or embarrass you, but I wonder how many of us in this place tonight have got the right frame of mind about the coming of the Lord. Are we really looking for it? Or subconsciously we put it way off in the future somewhere? Oh my. Lord, help us, Jesus. Notice we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So however long this has been that this verse has transpired, and Jesus brought them with him and he tells them, go on down and get your bodies and your brothers. Woo! Get your bodies and your brothers and then come back up and we'll go eat supper. Oh, glory to God. Now here's Jesus in the middle of the air, wherever that is. Amen. The dead in Christ, they go down. There they are. Can you imagine this mass of millions of theophanies? And all these millions of dust bodies coming up by the voice of God from the earth, a new creation. And these millions of theophany bodies, they're milling through and going through. And yet each theophany will know its body, and each body will know its theophany. It won't be like you raise one and get you 30 minutes to get finalized and give you 30 minutes and you 30 minutes. But all this is happening in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. Millions of bodies are coming up out of the dust of the earth. And millions of saints are there in that dimension. And stepping into that body. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And somehow they have something to do with you. And your change. Because they don't get their body and go straight away. But they get their body and they start visiting folks. Because somehow there's an identity that they have with you. How will they know who's who? I don't have no idea. How will they know who's elected? How will they know who to go to? I have no idea. But the chief navigator will get them on the right GPS. And if you're not home, don't worry about it. If you're on your way to work, well, let the wrecker take your old wrecked car. You won't need it no more. Glory to God. If you've done left for your house and you're sitting at the Hardee's drive-thru and you've ordered yourself one of them our sausage biscuits and a big old black cup of coffee and you're sitting there and your car's sitting there and sitting there and sitting there and people's honking their horns and mad at a hornet at you and they finally get out of their car to walk up in your car and you ain't in your car. Oh, glory to God. Amen. They can have my coffee. They can have my sausage. I won't need it where I'm going. Friend, do you understand? It can be just that real. You're sitting out of the menu at your hand at Cracker Barrel. I'll have the old timer special. I'll take my gray, my egg, such and such and so and so. And the waitress is writing it down. And all of a sudden your menu goes, whoo. She says, what happened? And there's another one over there, and maybe a manager over here, and one over there, and one over there. Lord have mercy. I know people think this is crazy. They laugh and make fun. Let them say what they want to say. Amen. To us, it's reality. Oh, think of it. Caught up with them together, and what we're going to do, we're going to be immersed. Here we will come into the clouds. How in the world are you going to hide millions of people? He could have chose a dust storm. He could have chose all kinds of things. But he chose to hide them in clouds. That's not thunderheads. Some women don't notice what time of the year it is. These clouds are special clouds. Specially created for a special cause. Rapture clouds. Can you imagine all over the earth? Folks that don't normally get clouds. I said, man, it's a cloudy day out there. This is unusual, ain't it, for sunny California? Wow, here we are in Florida. My, we don't normally get clouds. You ain't never going to get these again anyway. You better look at them good. Why? Because it's a secret. The coming of the Lord is a secret. Now the second coming, the literal coming, what people are looking for, that's the one that everybody's got in their mind. But this is the sudden secret going away of the bride. The thief and the night coming, not the conqueror that's going to come and set up the millennium. Oh, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So you imagine who we all go, millions of us, millions of us. And we start going through the elements. Our oxygen is changed. Our bodies are changed. We're now living by divine life, eternal life in a human body. And we start feeling ourselves rise. Gravitation loses its hold. We're all merged together now. And then we're feeling ourselves rise. We've all met. We shook hands. All that sort of thing. Now we're fixing to meet him. And as Isaac left his home, we're now in the field to meet Rebecca. So our Isaac, Jesus, we don't meet him sitting there with him on the throne. Oh, he couldn't wait that long. Glory to God. He said, what you talking about? Me, you sit up here while I send Gabriel down there. Ain't no way I'm sending Gabriel. I'm going to get him myself. I ain't sending no archangel. I ain't sending no other angel. I'm going down myself. I long to see her. I long to be with her. I long to touch her. I'm going myself. That's why Paul said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Not an angel, not an angel band, not a prophet, not a pastor, but the Lord himself. You imagine the suspense that he has while he's there in the clouds waiting. The prophet says it this way. The resurrection will come wave after wave after wave after wave. You sit on the ocean, many of you sit on the bank, seen how them waves come, you've seen it, haven't you? And it'll come in, come rolling in a big old wave, and oh my, well that's the way the resurrection will be. It will be wave after wave after wave after wave after wave. Oh, glory. And every wave will fall right at the feet of the river of life. Glory to God. Then what do? We all rise together. Millions of us at one time. There we go. Rising. 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 There we are. And there he is. My first glimpse. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Amen. I've heard your voice.
I've seen you in lights. I've heard you speak to me. But there's something about eyes. There's something about people's eyes. You ever notice how we are? We're attracted to eyes. You look at people's finger when you talk to them. You look to the shirt, the button here on the shirt, or their shoes, or something like that. There's something about a face. God gave us a face for a reason. A face and eyes. You look at folks' eyes. You can tell a lot about folks' eyes. I'm telling a lot about them the way they look at me. You can. Can you imagine the first time that our eyes fall on His? And there we are, millions, just wave after wave after wave after wave. And there He is, all suspended up there. And we start, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when the last wave has rolled into that realm, then He turns. Come, children. And here we start. Glory to God. Oh, Lord. Lord Jesus. Friends, Paul knew the power that laid in this. He knew it was not his opinion. He knew it was not something that he drew up. He even knew it was something that God could never even later change on. Now, once God gives a revelation, God can add to that revelation to make it expound more and more profound. But He can never change that original revelation. And Paul could say this not only to the church at Thessalonica, but as if Paul was right here tonight preaching it to us, Brother Jim, Paul could preach it and say it's going to be exactly this same way. The order has not changed. Then we meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Think of this. You'll never, ever have to leave Him again. You know those times as a Christian how you felt like He had forsaken you? And felt like He was so far away. He wasn't really. But He lets you feel like it sometimes to try you. You'll never have that feeling again. So shall we ever be. Now, this is not everybody now. This is not those living outside the city. This is not everybody that will be saved at the white throne. This is only for a special class of people. Amen. That will never leave Him. Right. Amen. Who is it? His wife. Because she ministers to her husband. This is not said to those that will come up in the new moon, the new Sabbath, and the new city. Because they will come and go, come and go, come and go. That matched the way they lived on earth. But you see, you were sealed into His presence and could never get away from Him. So heaven is only a reflection of what you are in the mystical body right now. Lord have mercy. This is why, friends, some folks are satisfied going to church once every now and then. They don't really need to go to church 2 and 3 times a week. Well, you know what? If they live out true to form, that shows you where they will live if they are there. That shows you where they will live outside the city. But real children of God, they can't stand it. They've got to be together with the children of God. They've got to go to church. They love to sing. They love to pray. They love to hear the word. They love to participate. Don't you show you? Don't you see that showing you where you're going to be? Verse 18. Wherefore, comfort. This is from the same word that Jesus says, I pray to the Father and He'll send you a Parakletos. So this is from the same root word. Parakletos. One called alongside to help. An attorney one to intervene. So hear these words.
Can't you see why it's important that we believe it right? Then the real teaching of the rapture can comfort our hearts. But what about when it's contorted? What about when it's twisted? It don't bring comfort. It brings confusion. It brings, lights in your life. Don't you see why Satan is so attacked in this message? To warp the real understanding of it so it would make all of it. But to a real child of God with a revelation of this very thing, it brings comfort. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Can I go a bit further? This will be the largest and longest youth convention ever held. I cordially invite you. Glory to God. It's the Youth for Christ rally. Notice as Paul says in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior. Now in lighter use of the English word conversation, for us it means we apply it generally as talk and words. But actually, in the original, it's not just vocabulary and words, but it's our state or our country, our citizenship. For our citizenship, oh Lord, is in heaven. Anybody here besides me feel like an alien in this world? Oh my, I don't feel like no Martian. Oh my goodness, you imagine if there was life on another planet and they'd come here and, they'd look different than us and act different than us. That's the way a real Christian is. For our citizenship is not of Tennessee. We are Tennesseans in that sense. We are Americans in that sense, but our real citizenship is from heaven. Our citizenship, oh my, our conversation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice this, so our conversation is in heaven. Notice this, so he says, where you are from is the very place your master is coming from to take you to. So can't you see why the rapture would not be fitting for those who do not have citizenship in that country? Amen. It would not be appropriate. It would not be right. But if your citizenship is in heaven and he's coming from heaven, then you're going back to where you're from. Thank you, Lord, for our conversation, our citizenship is, the Greek word there is, has its existence in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior. And this is one of the characteristics of a real Christian.
Notice Paul's dealing with believers only now, this scope. This is one of the characteristics of a real believer. Their conversation is in heaven, and they're looking for the Savior.
Length of your hair, length of your dress, and all that sort of thing, all that's fell, and that's good, and that's part of it. But if you're not looking for Jesus, then there's something wrong with the rest of your doings.
Now watch this. He says,
oh my.
Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. So our citizenship is there. Our head is there. Our treasure is there.
So it must mean our heart is there.
So our motives, our objectives, everything. Notice, so we look for the Savior.
I love this.
Who shall change our vile body.
Look at this word. Vile. Tapanisos. In English, it's tape. But look what it means. low estate, humiliation, spiritual abasement, leading one to perceive and lament his moral littleness and guilt. Well, glory. Anybody ever feel your moral littleness and guilt? You ever feel this old tabernacle of humiliation? Look what Paul terms it, Brother Jim. No wonder we feel the way we do. Our citizenship is in heaven, but our body is still here. What in the world? I've got a citizenship of heaven as a son of God, but I live in this. I want you to notice where the power of God lays in the change. Notice what Paul says here in verse 5 about Jesus. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. The word subdue is to be subject to, put in subjection. A Greek military term meaning to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion. Under the commander, commanding of a leader. Don't you see what he's going to do? Who will change our vile body? He will bring it under what? Fashion it like unto his own glorious body. He's putting it in final marching order. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, the voice of a commander. Oh my, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. What's it to do? It's to finalize death in your body. He will bring with him a double manifestation of those who have gone on and those which are alive, and will reverse death in both of them. Not only conquer death for himself, but his children. Stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So tell me then, somebody. Tell me what you have to do in this. Tell me what preacher. Tell me what church. Tell me what minister is going to change you. It's going to be the power of Christ. Him living in you, my friends, will change you from within. And then you will find your position in the military rank of the resurrected. Glory to God. He will change our vile body, and he will bring death subject. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, glory to God. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that death is swallowed up in victory. Faith for a rapture. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. You imagine Jesus 2,000 years ago. And St. John 17, as the setting is made, as they move from the upper room to where they've just had the Last Supper. St. John 17, they say, is said on the way from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. after Judas has now left, the intimate part of the secret of God is now opened up. Then we can see a part of Jesus that was never quite seen before. As he says these words, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Verse 24, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." 2,000 years since he prayed that prayer. It's yet to be fulfilled. You've heard of it. You've read about it. You've felt it. You've experienced it. But your eyes have never seen this. He laid this aside. But now you're fixing to. Once the living saints are changed, the resurrected saints merge together. We will enter into this doxa, this glory of God, that we finally will be able to see Him as He is. Lord Jesus, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I've known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I've declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Can you believe that Jesus has passion? The Bible says his passion. Can you believe Jesus desires to see things fulfilled, and Jesus desires to touch you and reach out to you? Can you imagine Jesus, Brother Jim, in his heart, in his being, longing for this day when you'll be able to see him as he is? Instead of his post of humiliation. Don't you understand, being your mediator, there's a post of humiliation. Being hacked to pieces, blood all over him. That's not the glory he shared before the world began. That's so God, the eternal spirit, God won't kill us. It's a post of humiliation. But he longs to show you the real him. I wonder, I mean, we can only imagine. But when we meet him in the air, won't that be the first glimpse of this doxa? John walked with him on the earth. He knew it was him because it was the same body glorified. But when John saw him in the merging of this doxa, this glory, John said, "I fell at his feet as dead." Glory. You love him, saints. Lord Jesus, with all of my heart, Lord, I long to see you this way. I thank you for condescending to this earth to become our Savior, our Redeemer, to take our sins upon you. In one way, I'm so sorry you had to do it. But yet, in another way, I know you did it to reflect your fullness. But I'll be so glad when me and my brothers and my sisters will have advanced into the vision to where Spirit God can look down on the earth. And we will have progressed into the vision far enough that the Lamb can be released from the mediatorial position. Oh, happy day. Happy day. Lord Jesus. Even though Paul has been gone for 2,000 years, he still hasn't seen you. Nor is Peter. Still there waiting because you're a mediator. Oh, Lord, I pray you'd help us, Father. There's one here tonight that's not ready. One that'll hear this service. Some in Norway, Ghana, Nigeria, England, wherever they are, Lord. Up in Canada, Alaska. Father God, may the Spirit of God move on their heart. If there's one here in this building, Lord Jesus, that's not prepared. Lord, for those of us believers, I pray that you'd help us to go with this mindset. It could happen at any moment. It's so easy in this world that we live in to place it on the back burner and get our minds so cluttered with other things. But help us, Lord Jesus, to realize this is part of our identity. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Well, I'm bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound. Hallelujah.
Take it up, brother.
I'm bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. What about it, saints? I'm bound for the promised land. Sing it together now. God, service in the morning.